to Narratives. Set in Western Australia, a woman looks to begin a new life in a remote town, but nothing is ever that simple when we are escaping a past.
Rachel Mead pulled the comb from the back of her head, threw it into the bag on the passenger seat, and ran a finger under the collar of her blouse. She undid the top three buttons and attempted to let the caution that shadowed her life slip away. Hot air rushed through the open windows of her old four-wheel drive, whipping her hair across the frames of her sunglasses, as Bono, singing "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For," came full blast from the radio. It was good to see the end of this day, but the trouble she'd been involved in 40 minutes ago had shifted from a concern to a worry that wouldn't budge. Would there be charges? Would they ask her to give a statement against those men? She didn't want her name on anything official. She fidgeted on the seat, suddenly desperate to discard the formal white blouse and black skirt she wore to work every day at the town hall in Mount Maria, on the Western Australian edge of the Great Victorian Desert. She didn't know how this little town had survived the century since its beginning in the Gold Rush days, but she was grateful it existed. She felt a tug of appreciation for Mount Maria and its people, well, some of them. Not the mine site workers who had swarmed into town a fortnight ago, causing trouble that started long before closing time at the hotel. She stared at the road ahead, straight, wide and empty, calming herself with a vista. The landscape was theatrical in its majestic golden barrenness. Vast blue sky creased the faraway horizon, with rich red earth, mulga woodlands and spinifex grass below. 10 more minutes and she'd be at the Lawrenson place, the rental house she'd begun to think of as her own, after years of moving away, moving on, moving anywhere. Mount Maria offered a truly outback lifestyle, the brochure had told her, and it was out the back of beyond, which is why she'd moved here. She hadn't been looking for anything except normality and a sense of safety. If she was lucky, she'd found both. If she stayed in this rangeland district long enough, the Lawrenson place might even become known as the Mead place. It sounded good. But she didn't want to give the idea too much consideration, regardless of already having savoured the notion a few times too many. 5:15 and it was still as sweltering as it had been earlier that morning when she'd driven to work. At 100 kilometres an hour, the air coursing through the car was like a blast from a heater on full power. The aircon hadn't worked from the day she'd bought the vehicle, and there was nowhere to get it regassed out here. So she put up with it and enjoyed the exhilaration of air rushing over her. Flashing lights reflected in the rearview mirror. She tensed. What now? She brought the car to a stop, turned the radio off, pulled the sunglasses from her face, and fastened two of the buttons on her blouse, reluctantly bringing back the cover she'd only just let loose. The police car drew up behind. The lights flickered a jagged line across the breadth of the burnt red road for a few seconds, then stopped. She checked the side mirror and held her breath as she recognised the officer getting out of the marked wagon, adjusting his cap and taking his time as he moved towards her car. Did they teach them how to walk like that? A contained stride, without haste but full of objective. She'd seen too many cops in very different circumstances, but this one put her on edge in a way she wasn't accustomed to. He came alongside the driver's door, his shadow falling on her car and shielding her from the glow of the early evening sunshine. She moistened her lips and ignored the warmth building inside her that had nothing to do with the weather. Against all her better instincts, she was riveted. He put his hands on the heavy equipment belt sitting on his waist. "Sorry about the lights. Didn't mean to frighten you, but I needed you to stop." "I thought I must have been speeding," she said, with a hint of a laugh, but it came out nervously. He knocked the brim of his cap back with a finger, strands of short, dark brown hair visible above his ears and at the back of his neck. "Actually, I did clock you doing 7 over the limit. Sorry." The tanned skin at the corner of his mouth creased with a smile. "I'll overlook it this time." Well over 6 foot, built like a football player, he wore the blue of that intimidating uniform as though he'd been born in it, displaying authority with a laid-back demeanor and managing to make her feel as shy as the 19-year-old she'd once been. Too long ago. Too many broken dreams ago. So what have I done wrong? It pained her to ask, but she had to appear normal because she had no intention of telling him or any police officer what had happened to her 3 months ago. "You haven't done anything wrong, Rachel." He tipped his head, a familiar gleam appearing in his eyes. "Hi, by the way. How are you?" She allowed him a smile. Although truthfully, it came almost naturally, which was another worry. She hadn't seen him around town the last couple of days. She'd wondered where he was, but hadn't asked anyone. "I heard what happened outside the hotel," he said. She remained still, but her nerve endings roared to life. "I just wanted to check you were okay." "Your constables helped. And it wasn't just me. There were 2 other women being pestered." "I know." "So do you want to ask me a question or something?" she asked, amazed at how well she was keeping it together. Immediately, she realized she'd given him an opening, one she didn't want him to take. "Well, I have asked you out twice now," he said, a gentle glow in his eye, "but I didn't follow you out here, flashing the lights, to ask you to have dinner with me." He paused, maybe giving her a chance to speak, but she kept quiet. "I saw you drive out of town in a rush. I got a bit worried about you." "I'm sorry." "You don't have to apologize. Like I said, you did nothing wrong, Rachel." Oh, God. But she had.
You've been listening to Jenny Jones, reading from her book, A Place to Stay. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.